recording as well, and I'm excited to be doing it.
I am also recording.
I'm feeling so fresh.
Ah, I found that email. Awesome. Good.
Let's do it.
Okay, so,
It clears out the station news.
Good evening, ladies, gentlemen, men and women of all ages. It is time to once again open the kimono and welcome you to Webcomics Weekly. The podcast of Indeterminate Length, where we discuss the ins and outs of creating webcomics and the craft therein. I am one of your hosts this evening. I'm Scott Kurtz. You may have forgotten since it's been so long since we've posted one of these. You can find my work at the oft-beloved pvponline.com. To my direct left, or oh, I'm sorry, to my right,
right, okay, yeah, there you go.
Is Christopher Straub.
Hey, guys. I do Starslip Crisis at starslip.com, among other things.
Don't forget
among
the link.
Things,
don't forget
like
the link.
Loving
that,
you.
Don't forget to link the chainsaw suit, man. That's been hitting on all pistons.
Chainsawsuit.com is doing great. You would be surprised at how it's doing.
To Chris's right, I'm sorry, to Chris's left is Dave Kellett. Sheldoncomics.com.
He's my one time.
I want to rub in on some of that success.
Yeah.
Is that the right way to say that? I want to rub in on some of that. That's
it's like static electricity. Just grab a slice.
And to Dave's immediate right, but in a corner facing the wall, Brad Geiger.
What did you do, Brad? What did you do?
Brad, no, Brad.
We've got Brad in timeout tonight.
Yeah. And I do a comic called Evil Incorporated. You can find it at evil-comic.com.
We are your hosts, and we want to talk to you tonight about webcomics. So, what are we talking about? Yeah.
We are three people.
Oh, by the way.
And then silence.
Hold on. No. Let me qualify this podcast. Let me qualify this podcast tonight. Dave, you sent an email. You said around tonight. You said, let's do a podcast tonight. What do you guys say? Or no, Brad said it. And then Dave said, yes, let's do it Geiger style. So I want you guys to know that I am doing it Geiger style tonight. I'm drinking.
Oh.
I've had a drink already, and I've got another one sitting in front of me. So let's see where the night takes us, shall we?
I am also doing it Geiger style, so I've taken out my rage by punching the house cat. So
that's why Brad is in the corner tonight.
Yikes, that is not what I thought Geiger style meant. Okay.
You can put your clothes back on, Scott.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? My crane technique defeats your Geiger style.
I heard the podcast described as this, and I think we should start using it. Four guys who know more about webcomics than normal people should.
Oh, I like that.
I really think that we should almost emblazon that across the very top of our podcast next time.
I like that.
Because it acknowledges our excessive knowledge, but it acknowledges it in a way that's bad, so we don't have to worry about sounding...
Which it is.
Right.
Yeah.
It is a plague.
It's difficult, it's smart.
I hate it.
I'm already bored. Let's go home. Oh, no, wait. I mean, let's talk webcomics. All right, so what are we discussing tonight? Are we talking about... A
couple topics tonight. We got, I think, two big ones. Yeah, we're going to talk about AdSec, and then we're going to talk about navigating the webcomics world when you're a youngin'.
I think it's hot stuff if we discuss... I think it's the cat's pajamas if we discuss AdSec, because that is... I think that's kind of a breaking... thing. That's like a brand
I tell you
new
what,
thing.
That is some hot soup right there. Good job. That's
hot soup. I got there.
You know what? We should try to start our own little euphemism. You know, like let's just make up our own phrase. Like that is stiff whiskers.
No, I've actually used that in the past.
Oh,
that I tell you, that is a stiff mohair jacket. I tell you, that's
Brad will not give
I'm
us the
contact. I'm not going to tell you where
or
when.
Yes,
after 10 years of therapy, I don't have to talk about it any longer. Man, why am I stuttering tonight? I've turned into Bob Newhart over here.
Brad, you got to be like me. You gotta do it Geiger style. I'm feeling
I got two words for you, Brad. I got two words while you're stuttering tonight. Hops and pills. Those are the two words while you're Guys, I don't know why I'm stuttering tonight. It's Friday night. I don't know why I'm stuttering.
You know what? I think you're right. I think I'm starting to talk like a gin drunk. Because if you've ever heard a gin drunk talk, they start a sentence and then they get so far that if you've ever heard a gin drunk talk, they start a sentence and they get so far and then they start from the
beginning. Ladies and gentlemen, Brad Geiger, ladies.
There you go.
Wow.
That's why we keep them. There's the man.
That's why we keep them.
Mrs. Geiger, you're a lucky lady. You're a lucky lady.
Oh, yes.
Oh, she's going to laugh so hard, she's going to lose her link to XKCD.
So, guys.
No, let's discuss, though.
What is ADZDAC?
Well, what is ADZDAC, Scott? That is a great question. ADZDAC is they're an ad broker. They're a service that they will place ads on your site if you are willing to publish them.
Hmm. Well, that sounds fantastic. I mean,
they're like Project Wonderful, which I'm sure our listeners are familiar with, which does a similar thing, but ADZDAC is not auction style.
Okay.
And for
right.
my money, it's probably one of the better ad servers because they pay really well. They're very easy to use. And
yes.
and their ads are there's a good interface, they're easily controlled, and did I mention they paid really well?
Yes, and I like ADZDAC a lot.
And from the perspective of a family-friendly comic, they always have turned up quality professional Fortune 500 ads and others that are good for all audiences. The downside, as we're coming to find out, is that they've dropped all of us like a cold ham sandwich today.
Well, they haven't. Scott and I think we're the two guys that haven't gotten dropped yet. Let's put it that way.
No, actually, I have not been dropped either. But and that makes it sound like Dave is singled out. But we've heard about so many other webcomics being dropped from ADZDAC that I think it's just a matter of time before everybody's gone.
Literally.
But see, David, I am reading right now the email that you got where they informed you that you were being dropped. And I got to be honest with you, in nowhere here does it say that it was because you're a webcomic. It just says content not approved.
No. If you read the third one down, it says domain has a high volume of graphics and images such as anime or comic strips. So they are very specifically getting rid of high image, low contextual sites. And where I draw a little bit of umbrage from that is that it's not like my site lacks contextuality. I have transcribed like 90% of the Sheldon script, so it's all searchable from a contextual engine, and it's all workable for placing a contextual ad next to it. I have a feeling, and I have nothing to prove this, but I have a feeling that this is very related to the recession and a drop in overall ads volume, and they're trying to figure out a way to handle it.
I don't know, but I guess I don't understand that because, I mean, ADZDAC right now could decide whether or not they fill my impressions now. They have the power to not fill my impressions as it is. Why would they have to delist me? Yeah,
Scott, that's a brilliant question.
One of the things about ADZDAC, for those of you listening that aren't aware, unlike most advertising services, you set the price of your ad spot. So if you put an ADZDAC spot on your website, you go ahead and you tell ADZDAC, okay, I'm going to put a leaderboard ad on my site. It's going to be above the fold here. So it's going to be this standard leaderboard size. I'm going to use this Google AdSense code as my backup code. So when you don't have any ADZDAC ads to run, run this code. This is the code I've given you. And then if that's not available, run this code. You can have like three or four different backup codes. And then you set the price. You say, and I want to charge $1 million for this ad space, or I want to charge $1 for this ad space. You set the price. And then they offer that, they list that, and their clients can come in and then purchase ads based on your site ranking and how much you're charging. And you watch it and see how many, what percentage of your impressions are being filled, and then you adjust accordingly. I mean, obviously, if your impressions are not being filled enough, you might want to lower the price. and you can mess with it. But AdStack has the ability to already to not serve ads to you, so I don't understand how the recession would affect that.
Well, here's what I think is going on. I think there's one of two things, and I have nothing to back this up. I think either their algorithms have shown that the click-through rate on a heavily image-based site is low because people click in, read the comic, and click back out again.
Mm-hmm.
That's one possibility, some internal algorithm of theirs. The second possibility is they might have some sort of lessening impact of sales if their volume is too high but their turnover is smaller. And by that I mean, like, let's say if overall, including all the web comics they ever had, you know, they had, I don't know, 100 million to 500 million potential page views a month, but they could only sell 30 million of those suddenly because of the recession.
Oh, Dave, I figured it out. I just figured it out. You ready?
Yeah.
This is not a setup for a joke. I just figured it out. Okay. So the way that AdStack works, right, is they have two sides. They have the publisher side and the purchaser side. We're publishers. So we provide the websites that the ads will run on, and then AdStack lists them all, and hopefully we look very enticing to these big advertisers who want to come in and spend their advertising money that ContextWeb or AdStack will then take their commission from, right?
Uh-huh.
So they are going to make a better commission off of websites that sell a high volume of ads at high CPMs, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what's happening is there's only a certain number of clients buying ads. And if those clients spend all of their budgets, their revenues, if they buy page views, a certain number of page views based on high rate ads on these other blogs, then ContextWeb stands to make more money. But what's happening is all of us webcomic guys have come in and said, yeah, $1, $2, $3. And so these guys are able to get the same number of page views, possibly even the same number of click-throughs at an incredibly cheap rate because they're doing it across these webcomics that are readily available, with all these impressions that are readily available. And ContextWeb is seeing now all of their money funnel out to the long tail of all of these webcomics, and they're losing money on their commissions.
Mm.
That's a possibility, yeah.
So if they call some of these lowballers, which is us, then they're left with blogs that are charging more, and their clients now have less of a choice on where to sell, and maybe they're not going to get off so easy getting as many click-throughs for that's the algorithm they're looking at, is how many click-throughs are these guys getting for their buck. And what AdStack is finding is that us webcomic guys are screwing up how much bang for the buck their clients are getting. And if they got rid of us, they would get less of a bang for their buck, but probably spend the same amount. I bet that's it.
Oh.
So, but is that purely a context mm-hmm. issue, or you know what I mean?
Well, does their commission rate vary based on price? For example, if Chris is charging $5 and I'm charging $1, are they making more per CPM off of? Well, obviously they're making more, but what am I trying to say? Is the ratio, does it scale?
I don't know if it changes. It might.
I haven't looked into their numbers, but that's one possibility. Yeah, that certainly is.
That's the thing that confuses me.
I personally think that their overall advertiser base is obviously dropping because GM's not spending any money on their advertising. I got a friend at Deutsch that says they're cutting their advertising for the next couple quarters down to the absolute bare minimum for mm-hmm. obvious reasons. So GM, Ford, and Chrysler are big, huge advertisers in the U.S. who are obviously cutting. And then you got all the big guys that have been laying off, AT&T, Procter & Gamble, all these, you know, big Fortune 500 companies that are not going to be advertising are diminished. So I think in general, the volume that AdStack is getting is reduced, so they're probably reducing their overhead, and they probably need to focus on their big earners, however they figure that out. So Scott's probably right on some level.
So does that mean I'm dodging the bullet because I fall into some odd category where I'm a big earner for them?
Maybe, and maybe next week you'll be like, God damn these guys, when you join the rest of us.
Go ahead.
But listen, we know for a fact now that it's not based on content because for a while they were telling some comics creators that it was based on, you know, inappropriate content. That's not the case. If Sheldon's getting cut, you couldn't have a more vanilla in terms of salaciousness comic strip than that. So
no, that duck's pretty mouthy.
I think you only feed Duckball in one strip tops. And,
hey Chris, I'm about to. I don't want anyone on the. I don't want to say what I made last month on the air, but here, Chris.
Yes.
Is that close to what you were making?
Holy! Oh my God! Scott, I made more than that because I think you may not have them as high in the rotation as I do.
Don't. I have one ADSDAC ad. It's the very bottom of my site. It's Box.
Yeah, no, ADSDAC has been a healthy chunk of my monthly income. So
wow.
I'm going to be really sad to see it go.
Made more than that.
I made more than that, yeah. But
wow.
I ADSDAC is my primary, though. I know you've got other campaigns.
Here, let's do this. Here's this. This is what I've made so far this year. Oh, I don't want to lose it. I like that number.
I love without seeing these numbers, I love like thinking about Entourage. Chris, is this something you might be interested in? How about this number, Chris? Is this a number you might be interested in?
I'm passing the calculator back to you.
I'm just trying to figure out, Chris, now, is that comparable?
How long is this?
This year, January 1st today.
Yeah, if I divide it out, yeah, sure. But, I mean, if I'm making more than that monthly figure every month, it's a nice piece of change.
Where's the Sheldon? Where's the Sheldon? Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. I'm starting to chat in Skype with Sheldon. Give you the number, bam.
Without revealing any of the numbers, I'll tell you, me, ADSDAC for 2008 ended up being just shy of 10% of my income.
No! Oh.
That's nothing to sneeze at.
Oh, Dave, yeah. See, that's the thing is I think you diversify a little more. You have a lot more book sales. But, like, ADSDAC for me, I think it's like it's almost like a fifth of my income.
The number that you just sent me, Scott, is that for all of 2008 so far?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you might be lower on your rotation. Mine's much higher than that.
Yeah, there you go.
So you made more than that.
Not much higher. I shouldn't say much higher, but it's
okay.
Can I just follow something up here? In other words, what Scott was kind of saying was that perhaps what they were doing was cutting the low ballers from their rotation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I was charging in terms of CPM between $1.15 and $1.50 CPM. Is that high or low compared to what you guys were charging?
Well, that's low. I know that for my leaderboard
ad, I've been charging $253.
Yeah, my leaderboard ad that's sold by my ad guys targeted, like they go to their known clients and sell it targeted. It's like $350.
Mm-hmm. So, in other words, I'm one of the low ballers.
I think so.
Yeah, Brad.
Way to go, Brad.
Good job, Brad. Way to bring us all down.
Man.
Way to go.
Sorry.
Thanks.
Well,
thanks, asshole.
All of a sudden, my In the last 2 months or month and a half of 2008, I was experimenting with CPA advertising, and all of a sudden that's become a big earner. So you know what? If ADSDAC is dead for 2009, I might have to move towards that route.
What is CPA?
Click per action.
Hmm.
So I've never heard
for
of that.
For CPM, it's click per thousand, you know, mm-hmm. or not? It's a
cost per thousand, yeah.
Cost per thousand, cost per milli. But CPA is cost per action. So what it is let's say I have an ad to, hey, try signing up for Netflix and get, you know, a month free or whatever. And then for every sign up that goes to Netflix, I get X amount of cash. And that's proven to be a grower, although it's still not what ADSDAC was per month.
But I bet the price on that per action is a lot higher than the click per view or whatever that is, click per thousand.
Yeah, but it's much rarer. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, right.
It's much, much rarer.
It's like 60,000 versus 4.
Right, right.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm bummed to see ADSDAC going. That means I've always wisely thought to myself in growing my business that I think wisely, but it's also half by accident, that I don't rely on advertising as much, A, because I don't know what I'm doing with it, and B, because I don't trust it because I don't know what I'm doing with it.
Well, listen,
like,
guys.
It can all disappear in a minute.
Yeah, here's a really sad thing about some of these advertising sites. They're sons of bitches. No, that was it. That's all I have to say. No. The thing you got to realize about it is you're a gentleman, David, like myself, and you think that this is a partnership you're entering where you have eyeballs and they have advertisers, and let's match these, let's hook these two crazy kids up and make a love connection.
Right.
And that's not what it's about. These guys are gaming the system. The ad providers are gaming the system as much as some of these bloggers. Now, my buddy Gary, who's traveling the world, he's gotten earlier in the year, he was really gung-ho about this guy, johnchow.com, and who is a professional blogger. And he talks a lot about how you make money off these ads and just made millions and millions, and he's buying cars. And it's his business is making money, teaching other people how to make money off their blogs, right? You know, there's nothing there but telling people how to game the system this week. And the problem is that a lot of these ads companies are also in on it. And they're gaming the system too from that angle. I was a part of a company that sold text links ads. In other words, no image. It's just a simple text link. At the bottom of my website, it said Nintendo Wii games. And then you clicked on it, and you would think that would take you to something about Nintendo Wii games, correct? No, it's an auto dealership.
Oh.
And the reason why is because it's not about advertising. It's not about you bought an ad, and now I want people to buy my Nintendo Wii games, and hopefully I'm selling Nintendo Wii games. What they're trying to do is they're trying to steal your Google rank from you by using that ad, that text link ad, as a new source of link to their site to raise page rank, which in turn lowers yours. So what I discovered was that by making this money, and it was pretty good money, I think it was like $600 to $700 a month just for two or three text links at the bottom of my site that hardly anyone noticed. And I thought to myself, how am I getting paid so much money if no one's clicking on this? And the reason why is because they're not there for people to click on. They're there for the Google spiders to click on.
Right.
And then I noticed my Google page rank had dropped through the floor. I went from a 7 to a 4. And that's because I gave all of my link juice, they call it, away. So what we might be finding here with AdStack is that we're trying to figure out, you know, why aren't they happy with our content. It may have nothing to do with that. They might be, you know, our ads might be doing nothing but helping other sites get Google SEO page ranks, and it's not a matter of whether people are clicking through or the advertisers getting a good return on their ad dollars. You know, who knows what the hell system they're trying to game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's the problem with signing up with all of these turnkeys is, you know, you never know who's behind them.
No, but I mean, our collectively, or at least my page rank is still fine. So it's not like I'm offering a misleading page of page rank.
No, I'm not. I'm sorry if I gave the impression I felt that AdStack specifically was doing this. I have not seen AdStack hurt my page rank either. But what I'm saying is that it may not be just as simple as AdStack is looking to provide purchasers of ads with good contented websites. These people might be again out for something that we're not even aware of, and that's not nefarious. It's just that they're playing a completely different game than we're trying to play.
What if it is nefarious, though?
I mean, if it's nefarious, it's not like it's illegal or anything. It's just
what
not...
if it was illegal?
Well, it's not like people are being murdered or anything.
They're murdering people.
Well, it's not like children are being molested or anything.
My God, we have got to go to the police.
Yeah, okay, so I've got options.
Tomorrow on Fleen, Webcomics Weekly Sting captures AdStack child rapist.
Nailed them. You guys are going away for a long time.
I want to see what photo Gary chooses for that.
Sorry, I've got option three here that we have not considered yet. So we've all just said that for being a moderator of advertiser and a publisher and advertiser, AdStack pays the best or among the best of these kind of sites. So is it also possible that AdStack was maybe burning through more cash than they were actually bringing in, and now they're paying the piper?
Why would they pay? I don't understand that, though. What would they be paying out? How does it benefit them to...
Well, regardless of whether they're operating on VC money or angel funding or even through Context Web's funding to build up the site, they might have been trying to build up volume as fast as they could with the hope that they could get mega buys, you know.
Oh, I see what you're saying. It's like they're trying to say, look at all the page views we have total, and then buy it.
Yeah.
But that didn't happen.
And now, how often has that happened in this kind of thing?
A bajillion times.
A bajillion times.
Especially now, Chris, because everybody's desperate to get all that newspaper advertising that's drying up because everybody's abandoning print left and right, you know. So it's definitely possible that in heady your days, they were like, all right, here's what we got to do. We're going to have to spend $20 million, but we're going to buy our way into volume. And now that the recession's cracking down, they're like, oh, shit, we're never going to make this work. And so they're limiting their headcount and they're limiting their volume, you know.
That is a huge thing right now. I cannot believe that the people are still going down that route where they're trying to buy their way into volume. Dave, you know recently that someone tried to offer to host PvP so that they could buy their way into volume.
Right. We were talking about that.
Yeah.
On the podcast. Yeah. And I think Brad was on a couple of sites where he was trying to buy his way into volume, but never mind. That joke went nowhere.
That's a Brad for you.
Brad.
I was still trying to figure out where that was going. And
you know what? I left it at the most tasteful point that I could leave it before it went sour. That's I'll just leave it at that.
Yes,
but anyway,
words,
so you know
Chris,
what? Now that I've stumbled upon that thought, that's my new go-to. I think that's what happened. I think they were trying to buy their way into volume. It didn't work out. Their overall ad volume itself dropped out, and now they're left with all these publishers that they can't provide ads for, and who they were overpaying anyway. That's a strong possibility.
Okay,
yeah.
Now be that as it may, what are the best strategies for the future?
Well, so here's my question, guys. How can I best monetize a site that takes advantage of photos that I took of a sleeping Brad Geiger at Emerald City Comic Con when we were in the hotel room?
You know, I heard that shutter clicking, and you kept saying that site? You kept saying, I heard that shutter clicking, and you kept saying that, oh, no, I grind my teeth. I knew it.
No, Brad, my teeth do sound like a photo shutter. So is the best way to monetize that, is it blackmail, guys? Is that the way I do it? Or do I try to put ads on it?
Yeah, you just tell your readers, you say, pony up the dough, or I'm going to shut it down. That's going to work for you every time.
No, I do it to Evil Ink readers. I say, look, if you don't want your comic creator to be publicly embarrassed, I'm going to need $10,000 by the end of the week.
And what do they say? They say, bring it.
Bring it.
Go ahead.
Hey. I want to see frames 9 through 28, please.
Dave puts up a note. If you don't give me $1,000, I'm going to shut Evil Ink down. And he ends up getting $2,000 to do just that.
Did you guys ever see the Monty Python skit where it's called, like, it's the game show called Blackmail or whatever? And it's like, all right, here we go.
Yeah.
I love that skit. All right, so Brad, seriously, answer your question. I have no idea. What replaces AdStack in 2009?
Well, don't say.
It's a good question. I mean,
we don't need these lowball guys flooding the market.
The good news is that I've seen recently Project Wonderful is experiencing a wider clientele than the standard webcomic ad. That's certainly good news. But I don't make a fraction out of Project Wonderful that I made with AdStack or Tribal Fusion, which I use second in my chain.
Yeah, and that's the problem. And maybe it's just that we'll never find a payer, or not never, but for the foreseeable future, we won't find a payout as pleasing as AdStack, and maybe we just got to live with that.
Well, it really is a shame that there isn't someone out there. And I mean, now is probably not the time to do it with the economy being the way it is and people cutting back on their ad spending. But it's a shame that even in healthier times, that there wasn't some dude that kind of knows sales that could sit down with some webcomics people and maybe provide that service for
maybe
premier webcomic sites. That's a market that I'm surprised has not been filled yet.
I am genuinely surprised that you're right, that some intrepid little salesperson hasn't said, you know what, give me 30 million page views a month and I will bring in X amount of dollars.
But in doing so, working directly with them on a personal basis, not a latchkey type of thing.
Because you could, by gathering together 10, 20, 30 webcomics, have 30 to 60 million page views, no problem, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
So if you're that salesperson and you've recently been laid off, give us a call.
No, listen, I mean, the problem is...
I'm not joking about that.
Well, yeah, give us a call, though. Give us a call.
Back to the idea of a collective. Because now we're coming right back to the idea of webcomics joining up as a group to use their bigger page numbers, blah, 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 blah. And am I right or am I wrong?
Well, let's tell them how many pages we get.
Because it's not a matter of necessarily, I think that's kind of the bad mentality, which is, all right, let's pull these page views together, and then we'll have a run-of-the-network number that we can give to people for these shit ads that are going to run across the whole network, because what we're really selling is the large number, you know, this big, large number.
Okay, how does that differ from what Dave just said, though?
Because what I'm talking about is someone sitting down and saying, let's match some good, let's do some good advertising matches. Let's just not do this run of the network ads. You know, I mean, look, the client that does really well, if some savvy ad guy were to find some really great clients that would really prosper from advertising on Dave's site, those same clients would crash and burn on the PvP site. Because we have two completely different demographics.
Right. So like any good salesman, he's got to go in or she's got to go in with like a portfolio and say, all right, I notice your half of your site is into gaming. You might enjoy or you might benefit from advertising on PvP, on this and this and this and that. Or, oh, I noticed that half of your clientele wears comfortable sweaters. All right, well, you might enjoy advertising on Sheldon. You know,
yeah. And then listen, I mean, that's what's going to end up happening. The guy's going to come and he's going to say, David, we found, you know, David's doing really well. He's got a very general demographic. We can get a wider range of things on here. Brad, we're going to hit up these guys. We're going to hit up, you know, Marvel and DC, and we're going to hit up these comic book shops and blah, 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 blah. We're going to hit that clientele. And you know, Scott, we're having a hard time. You know, your stuff has not been good since 2001. What's with all this soap opera crap that's happening? Maybe we can advertise, I don't know, if there's like failure stickers that could...
Scott, they're like, I don't know what to do with these fart jokes. Who do we advertise? Bino, come on. What do we got to work with?
Bino, yeah, Bino, all over PvP.
Bino everywhere.
Yeah, because people go to PvP because they're looking for help for their fart problem.
Yeah, but then this guy could maybe also manage the turnkey stuff for you. I don't know. But the thing is that run-of-the-mill where you say, we'll pool all of our page views together, and then it's like we're one giant website, and people want to buy advertising on it because the number's so big and impressive.
Right.
No, but that's why, but like, listen, I was being serious when I was saying if you were a laid-off failed guy, because if you're in advertising and you already know the ins and outs and have a client list of 150 that you called before, well, you know, make a call to 20, 30 web cartoonists and say, just give me one slot for 3 months. Let me show you what I can do for you. And then you handle those 20 or 30 web cartoonists like a client.
Yeah, that's the problem, though, is that this is kind of a bad time to do that, huh?
Well, yes and no. I mean, traditionally, the companies that advertise their way through a recession do really well. Smart companies know that you advertise your way through a recession. You don't cut down on advertising. Unless, like GM, you're about to go belly up. But traditionally, if you're in the companies that did the best in the Depression, the companies that did the best in the 80s downturn were the ones that actually upped their advertising. So it's possible. It's possible that advertising online could still do fine, but we'll see. The problem is everyone's at the moment, I think, is scared shitless. So anyway,
that was our big ads back talk.
Yeah, I wonder how meaningful that is to everybody who is not accepted by AdStack.
I think the reason why it's such a story for us is not necessarily because I mean, certainly we've had other ad services come and go, but just because AdStack performed so well for so long consistently.
Yeah, and a lot of people were on there.
Yeah. Well, that's another problem, man. That's a thing where, you know, one of the great things about AdStack was with the Google AdSense, they're literally catering to tens to hundreds of thousands of websites, you know. But then an AdStack comes along, and if it's decent, it's like, that's kind of a diamond in the rough. It's a little more centralized. It's a little more focused. And then once it kind of gets out to all these webcomic sites, you know, everybody signs up and kind of, you know, screws it up for everybody. And so, I don't know. Maybe it's time to kind of rethink how...
That is possible. I mean, I've always been a big proponent of we're not directly in competition with each other, but in advertising... Maybe we are.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah, let me send you my figure for how much money I made off of AdStack.
And Brad, you don't get to see the figures at all. Chris just sent me a message that said, go to hell, dollars.
So that's...
Scott, I'm sending you mine.
David, you made balls last
year? Oops, wrong message.
Well, hey, listen, we need to discuss our other subject. How long have we been recording for here?
Probably about 30, 40.
Why is this call recorder not telling me that wonderful stat any longer? Oh, there it is. We've been recording for 1 hour. Well, we've been talking for 1 hour, 4 minutes, so subtract the pre-show.
Wait a minute. So, well, let's hit some other question then.
Yeah, let's. Do we want to discuss this this kid thing?
Yeah,
I think that's a meaty one, and it wouldn't go on that long. We do.
Okay. Well, I got an email from a young man. I don't want to give his name away because I don't want to out this young gentleman, but or girl. Theme could be a girl. Could also be a girl.
Whoops.
God dang it! I like how
late the game that was. Or hermaphrodite, possibly a hermaphrodite.
All right, so here's the email. Dear Scott, my name is. Let's give this person a name. We'll say this person's name is Taylor because Taylor could be a boy or a girl.
Good idea.
My name is Taylor. I have quite a dilemma, and I was wondering if maybe you could help me with some insight. Let me tell you a little bit about myself. I do lots of stuff on the net. I run a couple websites. I'm paraphrasing here because I don't want to. He gives specifics. God dang it. She gives specifics. Who knows who this person is?
You're like, and my brother gives specifics. Or sister. I mean,
So this person runs a couple websites, does original articles and interviews for other websites. She says that they've been showcased on some blogs, message boards, blah, blah, blah. So pretty much he says, my online career has been going really, really well. There's just one problem. I'm 15 years old. And so Taylor's starting a webcomic. Taylor's building a buffer, setting up a site, and Taylor's very concerned. Ah, screw it, it's a guy. I can't play the pronoun.
Or a girl. Or a girl.
I can't play the pronoun game well.
Or a female. Let's not limit that.
He's always kept his age a secret. None of his contacts know his age. People that write to his articles don't know his age. Everyone just assumes he's an adult. He's applied to a couple of networks, possibly some advertising site stuff, and nobody knows his age. He hasn't hit it, but he's just not coming out and saying his age. So he says, I never lied about my age per se, it's just never come up. So the question is, should he go public with his age? Should he make the info available? His biggest fear has always been that people won't take him seriously, and with my new comic, I don't want to be dismissed as a crappy teenage webcomic. I don't think I am. I don't want to seem vain. I feel like my work looks not like a teenager drew it, he says. I have not seen it. He's been on the fence about it. He feels kind of like he's being dishonest when he talks to people. But the fear of not being taken seriously has outweighed that a lot for him. And so what do we think? I think this kid's lying. I'll be real honest. It just dawned on me. I think this is.
like the whole weekend is spent considering this question. Now you're like, no, what? No, he's full of it. This
I don't
is
think
crap.
His name is Taylor at all.
No, I don't think he's a boy or a girl.
I think he's a ghost.
I think this is Ryan Somer playing a joke on me. I'm going to be real honest with you guys.
Seriously, you're not serious.
No, I'm not.
No.
His webcomic is called Most I Could Do. I don't know. I'm not sure. But,
most I Could Do.
You know what, though?
When you first brought this up, I thought for sure I knew what I thought about this. And now I don't know what I think so much. At first, I'm like, you know what? Just tell him your age. He is not going to be the first under 18-year-old overachiever on the web. There's been lots of them. There's been lots of them in history. I know personally of a 13-year-old who is getting contracts to be director of photography of feature films.
Yeah, and Brad, there's another guy. I can't think of his name right now. He's in comics proper. He's actually hangs out in the Robert Kirkman fan circles. But he started off doing a lot of fan stuff, and now he writes reviews and does interviews. Is taken quite seriously. And it's one of those things where you say, "Oh, I read. I think it's Mike something," and it's like, "Oh yeah, he's 15," and you're like, "No, yeah, he's 15." You know, the kid will come up and interview you, and you'll realize that's the kid whose articles you've been reading, and he's 15. So, I mean, it's been done.
Yeah, and I don't think there's any real problems. I can certainly see that a certain amount of people are going to dismiss him for being 15 once they find out. But if his work is strong enough, and it seems as if it is, I think he's going to be able to power through that relatively quickly.
Yeah, but the problem,
Brad. It depends on what the order of operations is. Because if he says, "Hey, check out my work," and then people look at him like, "That's pretty good, I like it," and then he says, "I'm 15," they're liable to go, "Wow, that's great." But if he starts with, "Hey, I'm 15, look at this," then maybe that's not the best, you know.
Go ahead, Dave.
No, you go ahead, Dave.
I actually think he's taken the right path. There's no need to know anything about him. Is that wrong to say? I don't think so. I mean, there really is no need to know anything about him. If it's worked for him this long, and the reason why I say that, because I'm like the king of be personable and be open with your audience and all that sort of stuff. But I have to acknowledge that Tatsuya Ishida's done great by not revealing diddly squat, and Chris Onstat has done great by, up until recently, not showing much of himself. So.
Yeah, I wish I'd gone that route myself.
Certainly can, but what I'm saying is it certainly can work. I don't like that route, but that doesn't mean it can't work for other people, so there's no reason why he couldn't do it, you know?
The issue, though, is that if he was 18 outed, he's not outed. The issue is that when it comes to doing your own thing, your own website, you're in control of it, it's your site, it's one thing. But when you're writing articles for other people, there's all kinds of legal things in mind. I mean, technically he's a minor and people are employing him and there could be some real problems.
Well, I don't know that there could be. I mean, the contract is no different between a minor, except for, you know, you have to have your guardian involved. But think of a child actor, for example. They can be paid just as much as any adult could be in a situation. They just have to have a slightly different contract.
Are they being paid, or are their guardians being paid, or an estate being paid?
The guardian's being paid, but provided, you know, and I don't know Taylor's situation, but provided mom and dad aren't jerks, I'm going to buy a house in Encino while he doesn't get to go to college. Who knows? You know, he's fine.
Yeah.
Some child actors did great. Not everybody's Screech and let moron dad fiddle it all away, you know.
Here's my question, though. Assuming that he wants to keep it a secret, how long do you think he's going to be able to keep it a secret? And the longer he keeps it a secret, how much of a big deal is it going to become when it finally does become common knowledge? And one day it will become knowledge.
Yeah. Well, you know what? We should acknowledge one thing. It makes a big difference what kind of site he's writing for or hosting, don't you think?
Yeah, we find out tomorrow it's a porn site.
not even taking it that far, but let's say he's writing a webcomic about deeply, you know, intricate relationships that are like such emotional depth, and when people find out, they're like, "Oh, geez, a 15-year-old wrote this." Some people it might be like, "Wow, a 15-year-old." Other people will be like, "Ooh, God, what am I reading?" If you know, I'm that manipulated. It's possible that it could have an impact depending on what he's writing. I can't see it having a huge impact. Most people would probably just be impressed. But
That's true. Here's my recommendation to him. Yeah, you got your stuff, and maybe it's got a deep emotional impact. You say, hey, guys, I can trust you. I'm 15. See what their response is. They might say, oh, what? That's, I don't like that. And then you go, I'm a 15-year-old girl, though. And then see if that changes it. It might. It's just another card to play.
What? Why would you suggest that? That's a horrible suggestion.
And then, if that doesn't work...
And then if that doesn't work, say, I'm a 15-year-old girl and I'm a virgin.
No. That's not a good idea.
I personally think the kid should keep it a secret.
Do you really?
Yeah, I don't know that it...
To be honest, he's only got to keep it a secret for 3 years. Just hang on to that little gem for 3 years. Once you're 18, I say, then who cares?
No, that's true.
Makes a lot of sense. I guess that does make sense.
And then when you turn 18, then you reveal it, and you can go back to all the people that paid you and say, you were paying a minor, you jackass.
Yeah, and you know what? And then you can send them to jail.
Yeah. That's how you make your money.
You can blackmail them. Are you hearing this, Taylor?
Scott, specifically in his email, what was his concern about being outed as not an adult? What's the problem with not being an adult? Just that readers won't accept it or the business partners won't accept it?
Now I got to look this up again. Hold on. I just typed Taylor into my email search. That's the guy's real name. Should I go public with it? Should I make the info available? My biggest fear has always been that people won't take me seriously. My new webcomic, I don't want to be dismissed as one of those crappy teenage webcomics. That's honestly not what I think I am. I don't want to seem vain. But I truly feel like my work looks almost acceptable and respectable as a comic. First strip attached if you'd like to let me know what you think. Oh.
Yeah. But you know what, though? The good thing about the internet is that you can put work up and nobody knows anything about you. And if they like it, they like it.
Wait, guys, he ended this with, I think PvP rules. That changes everything. I'm looking at his comic strip here. It's not so bad. There's certain panels that I would say you wouldn't be able to tell. There's a couple panels here I think you can tell. But
what, his age?
Yeah. Just that his...
Because you're counting the rings? I mean, how do you figure
that out? Oh, come on, Chris. You can't tell when you look at somebody's art if it's drawn by a kid. Because it lacks maturity in their art or a...
Well, you know what, though? That kind of thing always skews younger, though. Because a lot of times you'll see something that's like, here, I drew this. Oh, well, I don't know about this. Yeah, and they're like, I'm 30.
Well, to Chris's side, he still says that Sheldon looks like it was drawn by a kid. And that's the thing.
But you know what? You're a kid at heart, Dave. So
let me forward this to you guys. Bloop. But anyway.
I think he has no particular reason to make it public. It's not necessarily...
I agree.
Of any value to the audience or to the scripts.
Here's the real sad part about it, okay? There's two different audiences for webcomics, okay? There's just the general world at large that through, however, a friend, another friend, a coworker will find your comic and either enjoy it or not enjoy it. They are not going to give two craps what your age is. They're either going to like your strip and come back the next day, or they're not going to like it and move on. The second webcomics audience is the audience that's not only just reading webcomics, but is simultaneously involved in webcomics somehow. Okay? They're either making their own webcomics, or they make a blog about webcomics, or they follow everything, they're in the forums, they're just somehow involved in the community. And I think that audience has a bigger chance of giving a crap about your age. But that's because they have some kind of perceived investment, almost like it's university politics. And I think that's really the only place that age could play, where it's going to make a difference.
I'm going to bring up one other point, and that is that, yeah, I think you've made the key phrase there, and that is making an investment. If I was one of these people who were paying this guy, I would want to know that he's 15 years old. And I think that's only fair. I think he owes it to the people who are writing him paychecks to be upfront about that.
Well, Maybe, maybe not. Because here's the thing, Brad. That's going to be up to him, okay? Because the reason why you say that is because if you knew the kid was 15, you'd be less apt to pay him. And the reason for that is because who knows what's going to happen next week when the kid decides he likes Xbox better than writing his articles for you, and suddenly you're without your guy.
No, depending on what kind of writing he's done, also, if I'm writing him a paycheck, to a certain degree, I may or may not be liable for some of the things that happens to him while he's doing jobs for me.
That's
and if
true.
He's 15,
that
makes a big difference to me. And if I'm cutting him a paycheck, I'd want to know if there's something that's going to come up and bite me in the rear end for doing business with him.
Well, I think I said that 10 minutes ago, and everybody dismissed it. The hell?
No, I totally did. I dismissed it.
Now Brad does it, and it's freaking gold.
Well,
I like the way
I
like the way Brad
put it. I'm grappling on how I feel about it, but I keep coming back to telling the truth, and that doesn't mean that he has to have it on red letters across the top of his site. It doesn't mean it has to be anywhere on his site, but you know.
But to the people he does business with, that's what you're saying.
Yeah, and if it comes out,
well, you know what,
out.
Scott, and to Scott's point though, one of the reasons why we might have accepted it from Brad and not from Scott is I think the Midwest accent sort of adds to the gravitas of that, you know, like, oh, you know, when you're doing business with people, there's a certain liability when you gotta tell people the honest to gosh truth. I mean, hand to God, you don't want
to
be caught out, you
hand
know, with your guard down on the web.
I don't know what you guys read
no,
my blog,
Dave, you...
but... I don't know whether you guys...
Oh, wait, Brad, what was it you were telling me over Thanksgiving
well,
when you went back home? What did they...
That's what I was going to say.
Okay.
I don't know whether you guys read my blog, but I mentioned it in there. I've noticed...
No.
Being away... Thanks. I noticed that there was a lot of Midwest positive-negative speak where they'd put opposite words right next to each other, and it would make perfect sense. My mom told me that she was feeling awfully well until she got good and sick. And then a few minutes later, she told me to turn the coffee maker on off. And I was explaining this to my mother-in-law, who lives in Ohio, also the heart of the Midwest, and she tried to console me with a piece of homemade pecan pie. And she told me that the way she makes it, she doesn't chop up the nuts. She uses whole halves.
Jesus Christ, Brad. All you need is a stage and a puppet.
No, and by the way...
So you can roll your eyes and the puppet can look and laugh and kind of bob its head at the audience while you look up and around.
Oh,
and then you can go, and you can repeat it back and go, whole halves. Did any of that really happen?
Oh, I swear to hand to God, that all happened.
I believe it.
Listen, hand to God, I swear on the eyes of my children.
Oh God.
No,
Paul Southworth wants to kill zombies with me and Chris. We need to end this podcast. I gotta tell you a funny story because it used to be that my brother's really bad at this. When we walk into any place of business where there's even a chance that the person behind the counter will have an inkling of who I am, he'll be like, you know PvP? Do you read webcomics? You know what PvP is? And then the kid's always like, no. And he's like, well, do you know what Penny Arcade is? And he goes, oh, yeah, I read Penny Arcade. And Brian goes, well, I remember there's something like that, but not as good. So when this World of Warcraft game came out, they had these launch parties for it at all these different stores. And I was going to be in Austin the week that they had a launch party in Austin, so I called the GameStop, right, the store that is full of clientele and workers who might have a good chance of knowing PvP. It's video game related. So I called up and I said, listen, I apologize. Can I speak to your manager? He said, yes, absolutely. I said, I'm not calling to complain. I'm a cartoonist. I do a comic strip about video games. I see you're having a video game event. I wanted to know if you wanted me to come out and do sketches. And he goes, Scott, is this Scott? And I go, yeah. And he goes, this is Scott Curtis, this is PvP. And I go, yeah. And he goes, I listen to your podcast. I'm familiar with the strip. Yeah, I love it. Oh, yeah, PvP, come out. That'd be awesome. So I went out, and the people that threw the party, the people that were hired to throw this party for Blizzard, they didn't give a damn I was there. Hmm. So there was no place for me to sit. There was no place for me to draw. The guy said, well, why don't you just walk around and mingle and draw sketches for people?
Oh, man.
And I said, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to walk up to people and go, can I draw you a cartoon? You know, that's not going to happen.
It is the best way to meet you.
So, don't be shy, introverted gamer.
Yeah, I'm going to get a knee to the groin. So the manager of the GameStop, who was a fan of PvP, said, I am so sorry. I'm so terribly sorry. And then I said, it's no big deal, man. I was out here anyway. It was neat to see the party. This was something I was willing to do just because I'm a fan of the game. So it's no big deal. I mean, if you guys don't need me to draw cartoons, what the hell do I care? So, but they felt so bad. Then went inside, and it was like everyone knew who I was, and everyone felt really bad. So they said, look, we have a collector's edition of the game. We're all the Blizzard programmers are here. They're signing all the boxes. So this is a limited edition box signed by all the programmers. And he said, you go back to your hotel. You don't have to stay here till midnight because they can't legally tell it to midnight. I will send it to the GameStop by your house. And this is like people are like throwing rose petals at my feet and bowing and genuflecting as I walk out. They're apologizing. And it was just one of the situations where it felt really good. So cut to tonight. I go to pick up Left 4 Dead so I can play this zombie game with Paul and Chris, and I said, oh, this is the GameStop where my game is. I'll walk in. I walk in. I say, hi, I want to buy this game, Left 4 Dead, but you guys have a box for me back there? It's a World of Warcraft game. And he goes, the one that's signed by all the programmers? And I said, yeah. And he goes, okay, who are you? So what's this for? What's your deal? Exact opposite. And so I said, I'm a cartoonist, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, all right, well, so are you paying for this, or do you get it for free, or, like, I don't know what to do. Do I call someone? Completely, I just wanted to get, I was like, you know what, don't worry about it. Just keep the boxes. Please let me get out of here. And he's like, hold on, I have a call. Hey, there's this cartoonist here. Apparently he's a big deal, and he's got this box. And the guy's like, I don't know. Let me make a call. And then the guy behind the counter's like, what's the name of your comic? PvP? Is that like Penny Arcade? I've never heard of it. And I'm just like, oh, get me out of this place. Please.
Wow.
So it turns out the box was free. And then they finally made it back to the other box, and I could hear him going, dude, that's Scott Kurtz. Don't you know who that is? You know, the other GameStop. And I was like, oh, my GameStop, where they know me and love me. If only I was there, not where these jerks are. And then here's the best part. So the guy goes, well, you know, there was a contest for this where we were giving out cards that you could scratch off and maybe win a game system. Do you want one of those? And I said, no, it's all right. You don't need to give me one of those. And he goes, the game ends today. We ain't going to give them out anymore. In fact, I've got a whole stack if you want them. And he goes, hey, Bob, reach for that stack. And the kid goes, why? It ends today. And he goes, so let's give them to this guy. He can rub them all off. And he's like, no.
Seriously?
And I'm like, it's all right, guys. I don't need them. And he goes, why? What does it matter? We're not going to give them out. Let this guy have them all. He goes, why should he get them all? And I'm like, oh, my God. I just got to get out of here.
Just will walk out.
I know. Well, he had my box. I couldn't walk out.
Just start walking out and hold one arm out and just start knocking stuff off the
ship. Oops. 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 Oops.
Yeah.
Do
and
you think
you
this kid
oops,
behind the
ow.
Counter? Do you think this kid behind the counter wanted to save him and scratch him off for himself?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, oh, I don't understand what the vitriol is all about. I really don't understand why he cares who gets those cards.
Cut to this guy tonight, he's sending an email to DJ Coffin going, dear DJ, I screwed with the infidel this evening. I'll cut that out of the podcast.
Now listen, Gary, you were talking to on Fleen about this, just this very subject.
Oh, I know. Did you guys see that? What was that about? Thanks, Gary. Got scolded by Gary like I was in grade school.
Jeez, all right, take it easy, guys. Take it easy.
Scott, DJ, you both are both passionate boys, and I think that if you guys would just stop and listen to each other, we could have a really good friendship here. Now I'm going to go inside and comb my mustache, and you guys talk about comics.
Oh, my mustache. Why you gotta go there?
What? It says, what?
Dave, he combs it. There's nothing wrong with that. That's not crime.
Is that bad?
He's calling it right now.
Chris,
it's totally fine.
It's not an insult anymore.
And like, guys, I'm combing mine. Just don't bring that into it.
Cut to Gary listening to this, combing his mustache, going, son of a bitch.
Yeah, and just like the comb drops from his hand like it's made of hot lead.
No, even worse, there's like a metal trash can right next to his desk, and he just throws the comb and like ting around the edge, and like trying to finally call it.
Oh God.
Well, fellas, I've got to call it a night. So shall we call it a night?
Let's just go ahead. I think we did a lot for the people tonight.
I think for mustache holders everywhere, I think we did a lot tonight.
Oh God.
Yeah, that's our pro tip for the week. Comb it out.
Hey, and in small fun news, Scott and I got a God. Brad's still laughing 10 minutes later. I love that.
Oh, that visual.
Brad must. What? Which one?
The visual of him combing his mustache listening to the podcast just killed me.
Oh. Look, it's a ritual. He said, "I'll podcast a new one tonight," and then he sits down with a comb and just
gets
blows
the
it
baby
down.
Powder out, gets it all ready to go. I wonder if he's got one of those
Gary,
jars.
You're so stupid.
I wonder if he's got one of those, maybe a little like small little shot glass full of the blue water that the barber always uses to dip his combs in.
Oh, the blue stuff.
Yeah, the blue water. What was in that stuff?
Oh yeah, the barbicide.
Yeah,
that's what that stuff is called.
Barbicide. Yeah.
Next to Gary's desk is a barbicide glass thing with just 40 combs in it.
a little mini one.
Like a
no,
shot
different
glass.
Sizes depending on how what the weather's like and how the mustache is doing that day.
I'm gonna need my winter comb for this evening.
He's got one of those.
I have to bring out old Russian 242. It's like all these different combs.
Whoa! I got a tangle. Time to pull out Crazy Ivan.
I've got a date with a little woman tonight. I'm gonna go with Triumph.
He's typing on his keyboard. My Twitter pops up. Ding, new Webcomics Weekly. He's like, oh, my stars and garters. It's time to pour myself a glass of port, get my gilded mustache comb, and sit down to listen to Webcomics Weekly.
The mustache comb has one of those, you know, those three-cupped wind speed measurement devices that spin around at the airport? I don't know. I'm sorry, Gary. I'm sorry.
Oh my God, the wind speed thing got me. No, because it tells you, Chris, the funny part is it tells you when humidity's dropping. It's like, oh, time to switch combs. All right.
All of this comes from my inability to grow a mustache and my hatred for Gary.
Yeah. You're talking to the wrong three people, Scott.
Yeah, no kidding.
We will be meeting up with Gary tomorrow night and drinking out all night. Having a good time.
We're going to meet up with Gary tomorrow and just take turns pouring beer into our mustaches.
Well, it's like in a haptical signing at a convention. It's like, oh, Mr. Geiger, can I get a signature? Oh, Mr. Straub, can I get a signature? Oh, Dave, can I get a signature? All right, Babyface McGee, can I get one from you?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, Scott got a sad point.
Dave, that's why you lost AdsDeck. That is what happened right there.
Yeah, they've got
yeah, because of your mustache.
They've got an algorithm that detects mean streak.
All right.
All right. Well, this has been all your mustache related news from Webcomics Weekly.
Go look at spleen.com for God's sakes.
Yeah. You know who doesn't have mustache problems? Taylor.
Oh yeah. No, that's common, son. Or lady.
Or not. Yeah.
Or little girl.
All right. Webcomics Weekly.
Webcomics Weekly, guys.
And stop recording.
Oh my God!
That's a good one.
That's a good one.
All right. I honestly do have to go. Glow is texting me that I'm gonna help the baby, so I'm.